Welcome to the Wetoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
God, I'm grateful that your Word is powerful. Your Word, when received by faith, is able to bear fruit in our lives. Even as we engage on this journey of being bold, strong, and courageous, it is about you working in us to do something spectacular in our generation and our day. So bless us this morning or wherever we are, whatever time it is around the world. In Jesus' name I do pray, and everybody say the big amen. Amen. Amen and amen. Now we are beginning a new sermon series from the book of Joshua, and that book is found in the Old Testament. The book of Joshua, and really we are going to take some time to explore further the outworking of our theme this year. And our theme is bold. Please don't hesitate. Our theme is bold, strong, and courageous. And so about 2 weeks ago, Pastor Julius opened up the theme expo from Joshua chapter 1. And in chapter 1, we see God commissioning Joshua and telling him to be strong and courageous, to keep the word of God, the book of the law, in his mouth and in his heart. And he was telling him it will be with him as they possess the land of Canaan. Today, we'd love to go to chapter 2. Now, open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 2, all right? If you have a phone or any electronic Bible, just make sure it is an airplane mode, because now we are at 40,000 feet in the air. We don't want any interference of notifications, because right now, some of you can get a notification like, where is the school fees? No, let nothing come between us and the Word of God. And we believe the next couple of weeks, you are going to be inspired to have confidence in God's faithfulness, but also courage to act on God's Word. And really, when Pastor Brian asked me to open up this, really, I was like, I'm going to be preaching on one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. Until I began to read, then I discovered that actually I wasn't prepared. So pray for me even as I preach right now. But I took a step of faith, courageous action. I'm saying, I'm going to stand here and the Lord is going to use me, all right? At least I can read Joshua chapter 2. Open your Bibles, chapter 2, verse 1. And here we go. And Joshua the son of Nun sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, go, view the land, especially Jericho. And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. Talk about a secret mission going wrong. Right there, it goes wrong. Verse 3. Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, true, the men came to me, but I don't know where they were from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. But when she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof, so the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords. And the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Verse 8. Before the men lay down, Rahab came up to them on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land. Wow, what a powerful declaration of faith right there. And that is key to our teaching today. I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the fear of you has fallen upon us and that all The inhabitants of the land melt away before you. Verse 10, for we heard, everybody say, we heard. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt. Wow. And what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who stayed beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, who you devoted to destruction. As soon as we heard it, everybody say, heard it, our hearts melted. And there was no spirit left in any man because of you. Why? For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. And the men said to her, our life for yours, even to death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Wow. It goes on up to verse 24, but this is such a beautiful story. And today, I just want to take some time and just draw out some gems. Some of you can call them lessons, but for the purpose of today, I want to call them gems. Because they're so beautiful, amazing gems that I believe as you glean these gems and apply them to your life, God is going to enable you to live a bold, strong, and courageous life in 2024, by the way, for the rest of your life. Powerful gems. Now, when you read a story like this, in fact, I just want to say the whole of the Old Testament, and many times you hear people say, you know, I want to be like David. I want to be like Abraham. I want to be, in fact, we even have a song like that. I think we need to correct the theology there a little bit. Sometimes we place these people high up the pedestal. We think, my goodness, these guys were amazing. True. God did some amazing stuff in them. And then we think these personalities in the Bible actually are the heroes of the Bible. Wrong. These personalities are simply the supporting act. God, Jesus, is the hero. God is saying, let me show you how I love human beings. Let me show you how I walk through ordinary, flawed people who chose to trust me, and you too can be inspired, and I can use you as well in your season. That is how we should be reading the whole Bible. The hero is God. The hero is his son, Jesus Christ. The rest are the supporting act, just like you are in our season today. And so in this story, we see God just taking a moment and just putting a spotlight on a woman called Rahab. And I love her story because she looks like the least likely person to be used in the Bible. And you know what? That gives hope to people like me. I don't know about you. If God can use Rahab, God can use me. If God can save Rahab, God can save me. Come on, somebody. This is inspiring. This is hopeful. So let's see how in the plan of possessing the land, God said, let me just take you to an individual. And there are certain things I want to teach you about me, God, so that you can know I want to do something in you and through you. And so the first gem that I just want to draw out from this text is this, or a lesson, faith in action, you know, whatever you want to call that. That's a sermon title. It doesn't matter. Titles don't matter. The word matters. Number one is that, and you've heard this before, it's not rocket science. Faith comes by hearing God's testimony. Faith comes by hearing God's testimony. Now, the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says this word. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Now, let's just go back to Joshua and see how Rahab actually had faith in God. And verse 8 says this, before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof. She said to them, I know the Lord has given you this land. Now think about it for a moment. Rahab was not a Christian. Rahab was not an Israelite. Rahab was not rescued from Egypt. She was not a man. She was an outsider. And also being an outsider, she was the extreme of the outsiders. But she said, I know that God has given you this land. And then verse 10, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. In other words, we have heard about the testimony of God. And then she was like, I believe that actually your God is the true God. Wow. Verse 11, when we heard of it, again, hearing, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God, not our gods, your God in heaven above, and he is the God on the earth below. Rahab, when she heard about the testimony of God on how God had worked mightily in rescuing the nation of Israel from Egypt, her faith rose in her. And she chose to say no to the various gods in Canaan and said, I'm going to believe the one true God, the God of Israel. Come on, that is so good, because faith comes by hearing the testimony of God. And that is amazing. You see, it's interesting, and this is me just thinking a little bit deeper, but I hope I'm still theological. I think Rahab, when she had the testimony of God, she was comparing the testimony of God to the testimony of the gods of Canaan. Because as Canaanites, they had many idols and many gods. And they worshiped these gods day in and day every night. And I think at some point she was like, man, we have worshipped these gods, but they don't meet our needs. They don't satisfy. But there is a God who dried up the Red Sea. That is the one true God that I want to worship. She abandoned her idols and gods and instead began to believe in the God of Israel. You see, in our day-to-day, most of us, we think that idolatry is not active. We think that idolatry is in the past. But I want to let you know today that idolatry is as alive as it was in the past, because it's a human problem. We always choose what to worship. The question is, what do you worship? You may not have something that is sculpted that you're worshiping, but there's something that you bow to. Our culture is obsessed with the pursuit of power, materialism. Those are the idols of the day. Sex. We live in a highly sexualized day. What about pleasure? The pursuit of pleasure is like the goal of every person. These are the idols of the day, and they are alive. But let me tell you, I was there one day pursuing these idols, and they left me empty each and every day until I got to discover there is a God in heaven, and his name is Jesus. He's able to fulfill me in my deepest longings, like power, sex, and money and pleasures can never fulfill. And like Rahab, I want us in this day, in this generation, to lift up our eyes from the things of the earth and say, there is a God in heaven, and he alone can truly satisfy my longings. And his name is Jesus. That is conviction. We gotta be people of conviction who know there is a God in heaven who is able to fulfill our deepest longings. I love what Paul says about King Jesus in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. To 18, he says, the Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of over all creation, for in him things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created for him and through him. Come on, if you believe Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and is worthy of our worship, come on, give him praise in this place with all the conviction in your heart. That is King Jesus, friends. We gotta be people of conviction because we believe that we serve the only true God. Why would the world go and be convicted and celebrating all these idols and be coming to church? I mean, so, you know, dignified. Come on, give Jesus a big praise this morning wherever you are. He is worthy of our praise. Rahab chose to believe because faith comes by hearing. Not only did she hear, she demonstrated courageous action. That's the second gem. True faith is seen through courageous action. We read earlier that when the spies came to her room, she decided to side with the spies against her people. Now, we must understand, by doing that, Rahab was risking her life and the life of her family. She had no idea what the outcomes are going to be. She simply said, I have heard, I believe, and I'm going to do something that shows that I believe. She hid the spies. Friends, her life could have ended if they discovered she had hidden the spies. But you know what? What courageous faith does is it simply trusts God and acts on that trust and leaves the outcomes to God. You see, we as human beings, we always want to be in control of our lives. We like control. You know, control gives certainty, isn't it? Control. You want to have enough savings in your bank account for retirement. That's a form of being in control. You don't want to live with this worry. Now, I'm not saying saving is wrong. All I'm saying is, if you think your savings are your God, the moment that account is wiped away, you will die. You'll hang yourself. Because we want to be in control of the outcomes. You, God, are you going to take care of me when I go? If I stand against corruption, are you going to make sure corruption ends? No. You have a responsibility to stand for what is right and leave God with the outcomes of your faith. Amen. That's what she did. She did something courageous. True faith is more than just believing. It's not intellectual assent. You see, the Bible says in James, the half-brother of Jesus, that even demons believe. So let's not have demonic faith. Belief is not enough. What you do shows what you believe. Demons believe, but they don't obey. But we who say we are believers, we gotta do something about what we believe. So true faith is more than just believing. It is an acting on what we believe and are willing to step out even when it is risky or inconvenient. This church that we are enjoying 40 years later was planted following this principle. Our founders, the Skinners, heard from the Lord. Go downtown Kampala. When the country was broken in 1983, 84, I was alive, I was still young, but I knew what the country was like. Broken. Infrastructure broken. No peace. No. The economy was completely broken. They risked their lives and their young family by stepping into Uganda. It was inconvenient. It didn't make sense. But look what the Lord has done as a result of their courageous action. Come on. Let's praise God so much for that. True faith is reflected in our courageous actions. Friends, let's be people who are willing to obey God and let's leave the outcomes to God. Maybe some of you, this means tomorrow you're going to say, no, chief in your office, I'm not going to be corrupt. Now, it's possible you're going to be fired. Let me not lie to you that all is going to be okay in that moment. But there's a God in heaven who owns everything, who is your guide and your shepherd, who's going to guide you. And maybe some of you, it means you're going to say no to any sexual advances that are targeted towards you. This could mean your friends are just going to friend zone you because you are not like them. Come on, there is a reward for those who trust in Jesus. God has more friends for you when you stand for him. I do not know what the future means for you, but there's a God who is all-knowing, and he alone will guide and guard and provide for you in your future as you take a step of faith, as you trust in him. True faith is demonstrated through our courageous actions. So, remember, let's stand firm like Rahab stood firm in our faith and trust God with the outcomes. Gem number 3. I love this. And I think you're going to love it too as well. No one is too broken for God to use. Whew. Woo, come on, you can clap your hands for this. This is amazing. This is my personal gem. You know, this is me right there. No one. You can even say, Eddie is not too broken for God to use. But this is all our stories here. It represents who we are. James 2:25 says this. Rahab the prostitute is another example. Let me just go down the rabbit hole for a moment. Have you ever thought about it for a moment that God kept a record of people's former life in the Bible? If it was me, I don't want to be in the Bible. Eddie, please, there's no. No. Because for me, not even one, there are many titles. When I go to heaven, I'll ask God, now, yeah, really? But anyway, this is to give us hope. That if God can use a prostitute, come on, God can use us. Amen. Now, let's get out of the rabbit hole, come back the real word. Rahab, the prostitute, is another example. He left them as examples for us, not as heroes to emulate. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different route. You see, her status in her community was the lowest as a prostitute. But yet, in God's wisdom, in the journey of delivering these Israelites into the promised land, God, in his infinite wisdom, he orchestrated events so that she played a part in the possession of the land. This is amazing. Of all people, you'd think, not qualified to be a part of God's story. We like things like Moses. My goodness, this was a man of God, the most humble guy. But Rahab. But you see, the reason I believe that God really just said, let's make a detour and stop by Rahab's house is because I want to give hope to everybody on this earth that you are never too broken for God to use you in accomplishing his mission. That's amazing. That is hope-giving. Now let me ask you a question. What is your excuse? Read the Bible. All the people that we call heroes were flawed. They had weaknesses. None was perfect except Jesus. None. Moses, his excuse was he had a stammer. He had an insecurity. David committed adultery and killed Bathsheba's husband. Peter was impulsive. He denied Jesus 3 times. Abraham, we say, this is the man of faith. Abraham showed lapses in faith when she lied 2 times about her wife being his sister. What about Elijah? This guy who slew the prophets of Baal. This guy struggled with depression and fear. Gideon lacked confidence and doubted God's calling. Paul persecuted the church and killed God's people. Jacob was deceitful and stole the blessing from Esau. Jonah ran away from God's call because of self-righteousness. Noah was so faithful in the beginning, but it ended badly. He had a drunk problem. What about, have you seen the next example? Eddie, all the above. I'm too young. Oh, let no person look down on you because you're young, but in all things, be an example to the believers. What is your excuse? There's no excuse. She is an example to us that God uses broken people. Can you say that with me? God uses broken people. Everybody, one more time. Wow. You see, I saw a certain art in Japanese culture, it's called kintsugi. They have these pots. When a pot is broken, these clay pots or porcelain pot is broken, they restore this pot using gold. They put every piece together, and the final value of this pot is way above the original before it was broken. And I think I should be having a picture. Look at that. all the gold in there is even more beautiful. In the same way, we are broken people, but when we allow God and the blood of Jesus to come into the cracks of our brokenness, there is more that God can do in your life as a broken person who has surrendered their weakness to Jesus than you were before. So let this picture remind you that when you surrender your weakness to God, God is able to do a great work through your life. Give praise to God this morning. You are not too broken for God to use. Wow! That is an encouragement to me. Preach it, edit yourself. Gem number four. God's grace is for all people. You see, we know that Rahab played a part in ensuring the children of Israel would inherit the promised land. But I say this, the real story behind that story is God really reflecting to us his heart. The story here, as they say, the thing behind the thing is, you guys are new, you are Gen Zs and Gen Alphas. For us, the dinosaurs, we used to say, the thing behind the thing is the thing. Now, I'm going to say it, and then you finish it for me. The thing behind the thing is the?
Thing.
What is the thing? This story is God showing all of us his grace. Just imagine it for a moment. Here we see a woman who was an outsider to God's chosen people, who was an idol worshiper. Not only that, she participated in a trade that even in her day was looked down on. She was a prostitute. But even then, we see God in his wisdom say, you know what? I'm going to orchestrate this event so that you pass by this woman's house because there's something about me that I want you to see. That my grace is for all people, from Rahab to Abraham, for all of us in this place. Rahab was not saved because of anything she had done. We all know her CV already, it's clear in the Bible. She was saved because she put her faith in the gracious God of the heaven and the earth. There is no past that is too ugly for God to forgive. This is a picture of God. His intent, even in saving the nation of Israel, putting them in a promised land, was because he wanted to bring Jesus through the promised people. His intent was never about a land. His intent was always about Jesus, who would come and lay down his life for all of us. You see, in a way, Rahab foreshadows a little bit about Jesus. You see, Rahab, in a way, laid down her life when she chose to trust in the God of Israel. When she chose to hide those spies, she simply said, you know what? I'm as good as dead, but I'm going to trust you. Not only for her behalf, she laid down her life for her household. In a similar way, Jesus, the sinless, perfect Son of God, would come down here on earth and laid down his life. Now, not for his brothers and sisters, but for his enemies. Wow, what a savior. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, he died for us. Ultimately, what God is trying to show us in this story, it's great faith, there's courageous action. We are not too broken for God to use, but ultimately is that His grace is sufficient to save anybody who's going to put their faith in Him. And so in this place today, maybe you identify with Rahab. Maybe you're in this place, you think, can God save me? The answer is clear. You've seen it. Yes. Maybe in this place you're thinking, you are too broken. Can God use me? The answer is yes. The only thing you do is receive this amazing gift Rahab simply received by trusting there's a God in heaven. Today, simply trust. And God is going to extend His gift to you as well. To save you, to use you, and carry you through this year, 2024, with boldness, with strong conviction. That's going to lead to courageous action. Now, even as we close this service, I'm going to ask us to take some courageous action. We're going to pray together. I want us to respond to God's word for us today. Now, some of you have not placed your faith in the God who created the heavens and the earth, who died for you. Today, you get to make that decision. Some of you in this place, I'm praying, even as I pray, that God is going to give you the next step on how you are going to act courageously as you live out your life from today, moving forward. Let's bow our heads across this place and pray. Father, thank you so much for this chapter in Joshua chapter 2, where you have shown us who you really are. You have shown us that no one is too broken to be saved. Actually, Jesus, you came to seek and save that which was lost. And in this place, the people who feel they have a dark present and past, and like Rahab, you are able to save them if they would simply look up and trust you. But also I know in this place, the people who feel unqualified to be used. But as we've seen in your word, there are many. The people you use greatly were flawed people who simply surrendered their weakness to you, and your strength was perfected in their weakness. God, I pray today that we shall put our excuses aside and say, God, here I am. Use me in 2025. I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want to take courage and do something with my life to live for you. So no matter where we are, God, we are all included in your plan. So I pray, may faith rise up right now as we begin to trust you. But also may courageous actions begin to unfold as we begin to make a step towards you, towards what you're calling us to do right now. While every head is bowed down in this room, online, on air, wherever you are, you're saying, Pastor Eddie, today, I want to trust God as my Savior. Like Rahab said, you are the God in heaven and on earth below. Today, you want to say, I want to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior because His grace is available. I'm going to ask you to make a courageous action which reflects what's happening in your heart. Would you raise your hand in this room, online? There's a link that is showing up. Click it. I'm going to get back to you. Raise your hand in this place. Let me pray for you today. So today, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Raise that hand today. Upstairs, God bless you. That's your courageous action today. That's an expression of your belief and your faith. So today, God, raise that hand and God is going to hold you today. Raise that hand wherever you are. God bless you all over this place. I see your hands, young and old. God sees you. God saves you. God gives you strength. Online, that link, click it, fill in your details. One of us is going to get back in touch with you because you matter. We are family. on air, just drop an email, connect@wachotochurch.com. You matter. We are family. Now, Father, thank you so much for every person who's raising their hand saying, here I am, save me. God, we raise our hands because we know you are the true God, our only Savior, who seeks and saves that which is lost. And when anybody is in Christ, they become a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, the new is here. Lord, I pray 2025 for my friends who are raising their hands. May it be a year where they're going to experience you. You will give them a bold vision for their lives. You're going to give them strong convictions based on who you are. And they're going to act courageously as they live a life of obedience to you. God, we celebrate them. In Jesus' name I do pray, and everybody say it a big amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@wachotochurch.com.